ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 27 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड किलिंग ऑफ धेनुका द एस्टीमन।
एवं सुरे द्वच श्रुत्वा सुरित प्रिया चिकीर्षया प्रहस्य जगमतुर्गोपे मृतौ तालवनम प्रभो।
ट्रांसलेशन। Hearing the words of their dear companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed and, desiring to please them, set off for the Talavan surrounded by their coward boyfriends, purported by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Purport. Lord Krishna was thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable? And thus he smiled at a petition of his boyfriends. As stated by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.28.32, Asam Harer Avanata Khila Gloka Tivra Shokashtu Sagra Vishoshanam Attudaram. The smile and laughter of the Supreme Lord Hari is most magnanimous. Indeed, for those who bow down to the Lord, His smile and laughter dry up the ocean of tears caused by the intense suffering of this world. Thus, to encourage their boyfriends, Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram smiled, laughed, and immediately set out with them for the Tala forest. I seek the blessings of all my dear God brothers, God sisters, and all the assembled devotees here for allowing me to speak something which is beneficial for me and all of you. We are on this particular episode where the killing of Dhenukasura is going to take place. In fact, all these pastimes of the Lord in the 10th canto are very pleasing to our mind and senses, also pleasing to our heart. It's like after a heavy meal, you need to take some sweets, rasgullas. So similarly, after, you know, going through the 9 cantos and going through all the philosophy, then to just absorb ourselves in these pastimes of the Lord is very enchanting to all of us. Everyone wants entertainment, and that's why people spend money to just, you know, go for various types of entertainments. Here, Krishna gives us all this entertainment for free. For all of us. And every time we just remember and read and absorb ourselves in these pastimes, it becomes more and more pleasing and more nectarine. So here we find, you know, how the coward boys, they just put forward their proposal in front of Krishna and Balaram that they want to eat these tala fruits because they are smelling the aroma which is coming from that forest. And they are mentioning to Krishna that this Dhenuka is protecting that forest, who is a close associate of Kamsa. And in verse number 23 is mentioning that how Dhenuka is a very powerful demon. They are mentioning to Krishna that Dhenuka is a very powerful demon. And similarly, their friends are also very powerful. This thing is put in front of Krishna. And then they are petitioning to the Lord that please, we want to taste these fruits and get these fruits for us. So we are on this particular verse where Krishna and Balaram is mentioned that by hearing their words of their companions, Krishna and Balaram laughed and desiring to please them, they set off for the Talavan surrounded by their coward boyfriends. And in the purport, of course, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that, you know, Krishna and Balaram are thinking, how can Dhenukasur be so powerful? You know, so here is mentioned, how can this mere ass be so formidable? And Krishna smiles at the petition of his boyfriends. In fact, you know, these leelas, on one hand, they enchant our mind and senses. At the same time, when Krishna performs such leelas, it also helps us to understand the tattva, the philosophical aspects also. So when Krishna performs something, he teaches us also through his various pastimes. At the same time, through this, you know, we understand also, we just try to see what we can really philosophically get out of it and maybe work upon our sadhana just to make ourselves strong. So various acharyas give at various times various interpretations to such aspects. So here I was thinking that I can throw some light on Krishna's laughter, why Krishna actually laughs, you know, some reflections on this particular aspect. Because here the main aspect or purport is based on Krishna's laughing. Just got some points from here and there and thought I can just share with you. And if you can want to, you can add some more also on this. So here the situation is there that they are about to set out. But before they are about to set out to the forest of Talavan, you know, Krishna hears the words of his boyfriends, and when he hears patiently, and then he laughs. You know, one reason why Krishna laughs at them is he's laughing at the innocence of these coward boys. You know, like the innocence, in a sense, they are fully dependent on the Lord for everything. They have no other goal or they have no other aspirations except that, you know, okay, if there is any danger, then there is Lord who is going to take care of us. That's their innocence. Just like a small child, you know, when they are scared, they have only one person to go to their mother or the father. For them, that father or mother is everything. Similarly, these coward boys, when they are in the pasture grounds, they know only one thing, that whatever we want or whenever we are in danger, Krishna is there with us. And Krishna can fulfill all our desires. When Krishna entered the mouth of Agasur, in fact, Krishna was wondering, why are these people going to the mouth of Agasur, my friends going into? Before even Krishna could think about it, they are already inside the mouth of Agasur. And what they are talking about, discussing amongst themselves, is that Krishna is there. You know, we'll go inside. Even though it's a demon, so what? So that's how it is, you know, like they just are very innocent, childlike, you can say. So Krishna actually laughs at their innocence. Their innocence is such that, you know, they're fully dependent. They're fully dependent on the Srila Prabhupada mentions that this particular aspect of dependence is a natural constitutional position of a living entity. A living entity is naturally supposed to be dependent fully on the Supreme Lord. But by being in this material world and getting entangled, one thinks himself to be the master. And then he thinks that I can do or I can work independent of the Lord. Or I can perform activities independent of the Lord. I can perform certain feats independent of the Supreme Lord. And that's how he gets entangled in this. But Prabhupada mentions in a purport that the dependence, Supreme Lord, is very much naturally inclined towards someone who has that faith and who depends completely on him. Krishna is equal to all living entities, but someone who has that faith, he who has that, you know, utmost, or you can say unflinching faith in the Lord and depends completely on him, that person, Krishna is naturally favorably disposed. And he says, but none of us do that because of our entanglement in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that, you know, one should be having that sort of a innocence. And once you have that innocence, then you can really naturally serve and surrender unto the Supreme Lord. So this is one reason why Krishna actually laughs. Because in a sense, like, you know, sometimes children come to the parents and say, you know, oh, we want this and we want that. So naturally the father, out of genuine love, you know, smiles at the child and then abides by whatever the child's requests are, like that. The second reason why Krishna may be very laughing, laughs, is that, as here is mentioning, that Krishna is thinking, how can a mere ass be so formidable? Huh? Because here, the coward boys are actually mentioning that, you know, he's a very powerful demon. And Krishna and Balaram may be thinking, are thinking that these coward boys, they already witnessed so many of the of their effort or Krishna's effort of killing all the demons effortlessly. Like Agasur was killed, then Trinavarta, others, so many demons, Bakasur, probably Bakasur come neat, but then every day they would be killing the demons and effortlessly Krishna would just kill them. So when the boys mentions this to Krishna that he's a very powerful demon, so Krishna's thinking, how can this ass be so formidable? How can this ass be so powerful? And just thinking about it, Krishna actually laughs. Because Krishna knows that no demon can be anyway powerful at all. They're in front of Krishna like, you know, small insects. You can never find Krishna when he has to fight with the demons that he has to, you know, prepare himself to fight. Or he has to develop his muscles to fight. He just effortlessly picks up the demons and within seconds, everything is finished. The whole show is over. It's not like, you know, when Lord Narasimha comes to fight with Hiranyakashipu, he plays with him and goes on for long. We never find here Krishna doing that. Krishna just takes no pains, no effort, just takes them and puts them out. So nothing is so difficult for Krishna. So that really puzzled Krishna why the boys are saying like this, he is a very powerful demon. In this material world, we find that, you know, out of our ego or our pride, we may invent something very, very great things, which may be considered very powerful. But as His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj in one lecture was mentioning that, however well, you know, our defense system may be, however advanced our technology may be, but when there is a tsunami, you know, then they cannot do anything. They just have to inform that, run away from there. They'll not be able to protect. And this is just a mere power of Krishna's. Unlimited, you know, or you can say, an unlimited power, you can say. So, a mere part or splendor of his power can cause so much of havoc. And no one can do anything about it. So what do we consider about Krishna's unlimited power? Krishna can do anything effortlessly. So Krishna actually that time just laughs at the boy's statement that Dhenuka is a very powerful demon. You know, that's why Vishnu Chakra Thakur makes this statement that, you know, Krishna laughs at this particular thing, that this is a very powerful demon. The third reason is why Krishna actually laughs is that Krishna wants to assure the coward boys of his protection. He wants to assure them that, well, I am going to protect you. Protect from all sorts. The coward boys, they wanted some fruits. They wanted some tal fruits for themselves. And Krishna said, okay, I will take care of your hunger. You know? And that's why Krishna just at that time laughs. He says, okay, this is what you want. I will give you that. You know? And this is one principle that is a symptom of surrender. Rakshishyati iti vishwaso. And Gopatritve Varanam Tata. He said that only Krishna can and Krishna will. And Krishna is the only maintainer. That one has to have that faith. Only Krishna can protect, Krishna will protect, and Krishna is the only maintainer. Like in the story of Mrigari the hunter, Like when the hunter was approached by Shripad Narada Muni and said that, why are you killing this animal's half? He says, that is my profession. He says, but you do not know that if you kill these animals like this, then you are going to get a lot of bad karma. And because he's Trikala Jnani, he just shows him that what he's going to get, the reactions after he's leaving this body. He says, what should I do then? He says, just leave this profession, break the bow. He says, how do I maintain myself? He says, the Lord will maintain you. Then he tells him to just sit and meditate on the Lord and then perform service. And then when he does that, Mrigari finds that so much of foodstuff comes to him every day, so much that it's more than what he really requires. And Prabhupada in the purport, he mentions that the source of income is not the source of your maintenance. So we may think that, you know, by a particular profession or by a particular way of earning money, I may be maintaining myself. But nothing happens like that. We are not at all the maintenance. It's only the Lord who is maintaining every one of us. So when you think that the source of income is the one which is maintaining, no, Prabhupada makes it very clear that a source of income is not the source of a maintenance. That means only Lord is a maintainer, and none of us can consider ourselves to be maintainers. At the same time, we find that only the Lord can give us protection. If Krishna wants to, who can kill? If Krishna wants to protect, who can kill? And Krishna wants to kill, who can protect? Hiranyakashipu had a complete full-fledged, foolproof insurance policy. But then, you know, he was completely killed. He was killed. Prahlad Maharaj had that faith, full faith, that Krishna is the only person who can protect me. And he was not at any point of time, he was anyway scared of all the punishments that his father was inflicting upon him. You know, he was not exhibiting any sort of fear in his mind. That's because of that faith in the Lord of full protection. So, Rakshishati iti Vishwaso. And Gopatritve Varanam Matata. That means he is the only maintainer. You know, only maintainer. So, basically, the coward boys, they knew that Krishna is there. Krishna is going to protect us. And now we are hungry. And Krishna laughs. He says, acknowledges that fact. He says, because you want, you have these tal fruits, you want these tal fruits, I am going to provide you with that. I am going to provide you with that protection, protection from hunger for the boys. But then we understand that when we take shelter of the Lord, then the Lord will give us protection from all the aspects. So that particular faith that we should have. In fact, that's the thing while all devotees really should understand that at any given point of time, it's the Lord who always protects. And it's only us who should develop that faith and the conviction that, you know, one only takes shelter of him and always pray for his protection. The fourth reason why Krishna laughs is Krishna wants to fulfill the desire. He actually is trying to fulfill the desire of his boys. Here mentions that Krishna is desiring to please them. So Krishna's purpose is only to please his friends. He just wants to please them. And there's always a competition between the devotees and the Lord. The devotees want to please the Lord, and Krishna wants to please the devotees. That's all. And Krishna wants to please the devotees in very way, wonderful ways. The way in which it will enchant the devotees' hearts and also pleases him also completely. So here Krishna laughs because he gets an opportunity to please the Lord, please the coward boys. He's always eager. Krishna is always eager to fulfill the desires of his devotees. So whenever Krishna gets an opportunity to fulfill the desires, he's very, very happy. He's eager to please. The coward boys are so dear to him, Krishna is always eager to please them. When the coward boys want Krishna to dance like a peacock, Krishna dances like a peacock, just to fulfill their desires. The coward boys are hungry, Krishna is ready to give them the food. When the coward boys want to play with Krishna, Krishna is ready to play with them. When the coward boys want Krishna to be defeated, Krishna easily becomes defeated. Sridharma always fights with Krishna, and Sridharma always defeats Krishna. Because that's the desire. Krishna wants, Krishna is sometimes defeated by the love of his devotees. Krishna always likes to please, and Krishna feels great pleasure in fulfilling the desires of his devotees. So that's another reason why Krishna actually smiles and laughs, because he feels that he's getting an opportunity to fulfill the desires of his friends. And another reason here is mentioned that why Krishna laughs is he is encouraging his friends. The friends are becoming little, where they are petitioning to the Lord, they are eager to taste the fruits. At the same time, they are expressing that they are saying that Lord is very, the demon is very powerful. So Krishna is saying, come, let's go. And then he just, you know, carries all his friends with him. Encourage them, don't worry, we are there with you. You know, and he knows that ultimately, who is going to be the winner. Krishna himself knows about it. It's like match fixing, already done. You'll never find that when Krishna has to encounter a demon, he becomes a little serious. Never happens like that. Krishna, through his laughter, Krishna through his smile, you know, he makes it clear to everyone that ultimately who is going to be the final winner. Like sometimes we have a, you know, Hindi movie sometime, you know, masala movie. They're not serious movies. You find that, you know, entertainment. The hero always is there, whether there are 10 rogues in front of him who are fighting, you know, he will be the winner. Everyone knows about it. People just go for that entertainment also. Nothing will happen to him. Not a single dress from here or there will get spoilt also. The others will be killed, but he will be like that as he is. And people also know, but still they like to do that. They just want to enjoy, right? That's the thing. So Krishna just loves, he just wants to encourage, come on, you know, be with me and everything will all itself. We'll try to get those tala fruits, like that. And the last reason what I wanted to share with you is why Krishna actually laughs is because Krishna is going to do something which he has not done up till now. In the sense, like, you know, he is going to introduce Balram now into the picture. Just like in the film world, sometimes the director promotes his son or his daughter into the film. So similarly, up till now, Krishna only was killing all the demons. And now is the time when Krishna is going to introduce Balram into the picture. He's not going to kill Dhenukasura today. When he's going to encounter. He's going to give that. It's like a launch pad for Balram. Balram is going to now take over, and Balram is going to exhibit his power, his strength. So that's the way. In fact, you know, when Krishna is thinking about Dhenukasura, it's mentioned that how, you know, Krishna remembers everything. Who is Dhenukasura? And you know, we just see someone from one particular point of view. But then when Krishna sees from different aspects. And there are various ways by which we understand that why Krishna actually made Balram kill Dhenukasura also. Because in the Garga Samhita, there is a story that how Dhenukasura in his previous life was the son of Bali Maharaj. He's a grandson of Bali Maharaj, right? Son of Virochan? Yeah, son of Bali Maharaj. So Sahasika, his name was Sahasika. And he was a demon basically, but you know, and he was enjoying with about 10,000 women in the Gandhamadana mountain. And he was enjoying so much that it disturbed Durvas Muni's meditation over there. And it disturbed Durvas Muni's meditation. Durvas Muni became very angry. And Durvas Muni cursed Sahasika that you will become a donkey. Because you are behaving like an animal, so you become an ass. And when you beg for forgiveness, you know, he said, you become a donkey, but then you will be taking birth, and the time of Dwapar Yuga, you will be killed by Balaram. That's what Durvasa Muni mentions to curses Sahasrika. He says, you will become a demon, and then you will be in the circle of Talavan, and you will be killed by Balaram. And just to honor the words of Durvasa Muni, you know, Krishna actually makes Balaram kill. That's one thing. Second reason is that Krishna actually assured Prahlad Maharaj that he will not be killing any of his descendants. And because Sahasrika comes in the dynasty of Prahlad, so Krishna doesn't want to kill Dhenukasur. So he gives Balaram that job to kill. And also in the Brahma Vivart Puran, there is another story of the same thing, Dhenukasur's previous life. That same Sahasrika, it seems, he went to have a battle with the demigods. And after having a fight with the demigods, he defeated the demigods, and he was with his army marching towards Gandhamadana mountain. And as he was marching to Gandhamadana mountain, he comes across this Apsara Tilottama. And Tilottama, you know, is dressed in a very beautiful garment. And it said that his bodily hue was resembling that of champak flower. And she was decked with all the wonderful ornaments. And she was walking in a gait which would attract the minds of any person. In fact, she was on a way to have, you know, relation with some demigod, supposed to be Chandradev. But when Sahasrika saw Tilottama, he became attracted to Tilottama. And Sahasrika knew the art of attracting a girl. So he, by sweet words, enchanted Tilottama. And Tilottama, by his sweet words and diplomacy, she got attracted to this demon, Sahasrika. In a way that, you know, she starts speaking words, you know, which are something which will attract a person and which will give a signal to the other person that she is herself attracted. She never told directly that I'm attracted to you. But she said like this, that, you know, if I don't accept your proposal, probably you will curse me and Parvati Devi will be displeased with you, you know, because you are not fulfilled the desire of a woman. So saying like this, Sahasrika understands what Tilottama wants. And Tilottama desires, and Sahasrika and Tilottama, they just enjoy. They enjoy in a cave. And when it time comes for Sahasrika to leave, Tilottama expresses her desire. He says, how can you leave me? He says, just like a bee tasting the nectar from a flower, leaves that flower, you are deserting me like that. You cannot do that. And hearing this, Sahasrika stays back with Tilottama for some more time within that cave. And because being there for a long time, within that cave is Durvasa Muni, who is meditating for a long time. And because he is meditating for a long time, there's an anthill which has grown on top of it. He's not able to see who is there. But he gets disturbed. And then his meditation is broken. And he comes in front of this Sahasrika and Tilottama and tells them that how can you do like this? He says, because you are like an animal and behaving like an animal. He says, I curse you, become an ass. He curses Sahasrika like that. He says, and of all the animals, the ass is the worst, you know. So you just become an ass. And at the same time, he curses Tilottama, that because you desire to have union with a demon, you also become a demoness. But then when they are cursed like this, Tilottama falls at the feet of Durvasa Muni and tells that, please forgive, because women by nature very foolish. So please forgive us for all these things. It's our fault. And when they fall, Durvasa Muni says, I cannot do anything, but I can at least, you know, somehow or the other mend that curse. He says, you will be taking birth, and after 400,000 yuga years, you will be coming in, when Dwapar Yuga comes, that time you will be killed by Balaram, and tells Tilotama that you will be also born as a daughter of Banasur, and then you will be, when you get married to the grandson of Krishna, Nirudh, then you will be liberated. So that's how the story goes behind, how the past. So anyhow, the thing is that Balaramji, Krishna loves, because he knows that he is now going to introduce Balaram to kill Dhenukasur. And acharyas give wonderful explanation what Dhenukasur represents actually. And who is Balaramji? Balaramji is Guru Tattva. And Dhenukasur represents ignorance of the knowledge because of gross materialistic acquisitions. So once in his lecture, his holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gives a very nice story of how Arjun presents himself in front of Krishna about why he should not fight. Uses different, you know, ideas, his misconceptions about why he should not fight in the battle of Kurukshetra. And then Krishna has to actually destroy his ignorance. So in that particular line, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning that all of us in this material world have this ass-like mentality. That means the donkey, by nature, he is used to carrying heavy loads on his head. And he thinks that by carrying heavy loads, he'll get a little bit of grass. That's the nature of a donkey. You know, because he carries so much of load for a little bit of grass, when the grass is available everywhere, Prabhupada mentions. That's why when somebody works, he says, "Gade sa kaam karte ho." You know, you work like a donkey. Because you work and work, little do realize that you don't need to work so much, because for you want what little bit, whatever need, the meager amount, what you need for your survival, but you work so much. So the donkey's mentality is like that. So His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning in that class that how we try to acquire so much, more and more and more, no? And we acquire is one thing, and we want to show also what we have acquired to others. And we don't want to share that things with others. Like Dhenukasur, you know, he was a close associate of Kamsa. Because of ass mentality, his ass also, he was keeping all those fruits for himself and giving only to Kamsa, and nobody can enter. It said even the birds, animals, nobody can enter that forest of Talavan. Did not want anyone to share. So he says the mentalities of the materialistic people is like this, that they acquire so much. By acquiring, they are actually tightening the noose around the neck. And as they're tightening, they're just showing the rope. You know, as it is tightened, as the noose is tightened, the rope becomes longer and longer. And they want to show that the rope is longer and longer and longer, you know. But little do they realize that when they tighten the rope, the longer the rope, the, you know, you are going to strangle yourself more and more. That's what happens. That's one thing of ass mentality. And secondly is about the misconceptions that you may have. So many misconceptions, so many ideas that you may be having. And then no one can remove these misconceptions. It's only the guru who can come in your life and can remove all these misconceptions. The Guru Tattva, that's why the Guru principle is very important. That when one takes shelter of the Lord, it said the way when Balaram comes and shakes the tree, the first thing what Balaram does is when he comes to the forest, he comes and shakes the trees. And as soon as he shakes the trees, all the fruits fall off. So similarly, it said that when a Guru comes in a life, then the Guru shakes the trees. You know, that means shakes all our misconceptions which we have, and then it becomes agitated. The Dhenuka-like mentality is agitated. Mind is agitated. Then we start thinking that, oh, why is he doing like this? Why is he saying this to me? Oh, he's a sannyasi. How does he know about grihastha problems? Why he has to say like that? He doesn't understand this. He's not sensitive. Because the guru is heavy. Guru means heavy. You know, Balaram means Bala is heavy. If all the opinions are on one side, and guru's opinion on one side, guru's opinion scale will go down. You know, when Prabhupada, when he said they never went to the moon, the entire world was
seeing this particular thing that, you know, two astronauts are going to the moon. And Prabhupada is sitting in his room and saying that they never went to the moon. It's just casual. He just casually mentions that they never went to the moon. And this was something which the people could not take it. You know, the devotee could not take it. Prabhupada, but then actually we can say, he says, they never go to the moon. You know, this has gone to the desert. They never went to the moon. But then now we know that, you know, they never went to the moon. But then when Guru's opinion is there, that time it just cuts through all our misconceptions and brings us to a level of understanding who we are and what is the goal of life. And that only a guru can do it. No one else can do it. So when you allow guru to enter in your life, then he shakes our misconceptions. He clears all our misconceptions. He actually breaks through, cuts through our misconceptions. And then we realize, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. You know? When Srila Prabhupada first time met his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, you know, he said, you should go to the West and preach in the English language. He said, how can I do it? We are still under the subjugation of British. He says, Krishna consciousness cannot wait for anything. Just go. And the way when Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur mentioned, Prabhupada said, I was defeated by his statements. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, met Sarvam Bhattacharya, he just smashed all the conceptions, the Mayavadi concepts. And then he was brought to the platform of pure devotional service. Prakashan Sarasar Thakur, you know. When he encountered Prakashan Sarasar Thakur, Prakashan Sarasar Thakur with 60,000 disciples were there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just on the basis of this philosophy, just completely defeated. So if you see, now so many, even in present circumstances, like when Prabhupada went to the West, people had so many misconceptions. And Prabhupada just cut through all. Like I was hearing one lecture yesterday, Prabhupada tape was going on, and somebody was arguing. So Prabhupada, this mentioned like this. He says, who said that? He says, this person. He says, he's a rascal. And 10 times he said, rascal. You know, he's arguing, no, no, Prabhupada, but he's a very, no, he's a rascal. He's a rascal. Now, somebody to say that, had that audacity to say, Prabhupada of that, with so much of conviction, he says rascal, and somebody, you know, accepts it. And that's how he actually preached in the West, by just going through and cutting through all the misconceptions, you know, and bringing them onto the platform of pure devotional service. That's what happens. So here, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that whatever we have accumulated, everyone is attached to money, power, prestige, he was mentioning. But then when you keep these fruits for yourself, then what happens is there is a tendency of proprietorship. Then you become hard-hearted. And then you become like a ass. You know, you lose that. He says, as long, as much as you accumulate all these things, the spiritual wealth goes down. So the guru comes and the guru just shakes you up. And then when he does that in your life, then you have that, you know, then naturally you just try to give away all your proprietorship, so-called proprietorships that you have in this world. Remove all your misconceptions, the doubts, dispels. That's the reason every time whenever we chant or when we do any activity, we always sing this or chant this particular line. Om Ajnana Timirandasa Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilatamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama. Born in the darkness of ignorance, my spiritual master opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. So when you come in contact with a bona fide representative of the Lord, that's the only time when all these misconceptions will vanish. Otherwise, there is no other hope. You cannot do it with, you know, artificial ways of accumulating more and more knowledge from the scriptures of this. Only when you come in contact with a bona fide representative of the Lord, and when that person enters in your life, then your misconceptions will go. That's why we find even a person who comes new in our movement, within 1 month's time or 2 months' time, he understands the real goal. Because so many things, so many conceptions. When I first came to the temple, you know, I was attached to someone who is a mystic. He would produce ashes, And he told me that, you know, I'm giving you Guru Bal, by which my intelligence will increase. I was so much attached. So even though I was coming for a few days, I still had this. So one day I was just praying. I said, I have still these doubts. How can I mitigate these doubts? And I was sitting in front, and His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving the life story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Bhishikishan story was there. And as that story started, I got engrossed in hearing that. Because I was identifying my life with that episode. Because whatever Bhaktivinoda Thakur was experiencing that person, this person had the same nature which I was or whom I was having the relation with. And Bhishikishan even told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that I will destroy your family. But even then Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not waver from that. He just gave the order that he should be arrested. And so much so that Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually was sick. His family members were completely were also tortured because of his power. But then finally, as we all know the story, that how he had this power in his tuft and then somebody cut his hair and his power went away. So when I heard this topic, that thing which was there in my mind, which was like obstacle, completely went away. Then I realized, I said, yes, this is the one. This is how the doubts are dispelled. And then the faith comes within the heart. So that's how it is, that how Dhenukasura represents false materialistic intelligence acquisition. And when we take shelter of the Guru, then the Guru destroys all these misconceptions and brings us to the level of pure devotional service. So that's the reason why Krishna brought in Balram, and Balram is going to kill Dhenukasur, as we'll see in the future verses. Hare Krishna. Anybody has anything to comment? Nanda Dular Prabhu, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.